have the privilege of introducing our guest speaker today, Mr. Jeff Swan, all the way from Hawaii. I would say he's fresh off the plane, but he's been up speaking at Alaco. So glad to have him with us. It's all yours, buddy.
Thank you. Oh, that's already running. Man. I was looking around this morning and I see a lot of familiar faces and some new ones. And I'm excited to be here this morning. I was just talking to Johnny. Some of you have heard me speak before, so you know like there's not a real great chance I'm gonna make it through this morning without tearing up. We just spent an awesome week with these group of people. It was an awesome week. I wanted to like acknowledge them and what they're doing. Johnny already did it, but what's that? Oh. Didn't make it very loud. We all had tattoos of Johnny's face on our bodies, and mine's holding tough, so. I was talking to Johnny in the back, and I'm like, man, this last few years, like I told him, I feel like my family signed in to be professional, super hard goodbye people. Like what we get to do in Kona, I'll share a little bit about that because I've had a lot of people ask me this last week, what is it exactly that you do over there? And so I feel like it's important that we share exactly what we're doing. But one thing we do is we get really, really close with families. We spend about 6 months running our school and doing everyday life with families. Like we eat together, we learn together, we study the Bible together. And we like challenge each other to go deeper into what God has for us. And then we travel the world and we go spread the gospel all over the globe for the second half of it. And then after that 6 months of like every day fellowship, and it comes time to say goodbye and send them off on the next thing that God has for them. And that's like really, really close to my heart this morning because I walk into this building and there's so many hard goodbyes that are sitting in this room that come up. And they come up, and so I'm just like, I told Tori, I'm like, we're just going to have to get better at this. The beautiful thing is that every person that's sitting in this room, that Jesus is your Lord, like, all those goodbyes are going to end someday. And it's not that far off, and that's an amazing thing. Okay. I'm gonna talk about Kona really quick, because I just want to get it out there so we can move on. I got a couple of things. We spent the week at Alaka talking about the theme was on the road with Jesus, journey with Jesus. And we kind of like hit this over and over and over. What is it like to stay on the journey with Jesus? What is it like to land where Jesus wanted us to land? What are the things that we have to put aside? And what are the things that we have to go after really hard? And I was sitting on the bank with Tobin. And man, we had this moment where we're looking at these kids. And some of these kids that we kind of got to know really well and have known for years, they don't have the best situations, not all of them. Some of these kids know the Lord really well, but some of these kids, Alaka is one of the only places that they can come and feel safe enough to say, I'm struggling. Like, I have some really hard things in my life. I need someone that can sit here and listen. I need someone that can sit here and like walk through this with me. And it was challenging. And so I just want to honor you guys. Like, what they're doing is a model for what we all are supposed to be doing, and a lot of us in this room do, is to take our life and focus it on others. Arby was talking about that this morning. And you guys are doing an amazing job. I'm going to talk in just a little bit about, we're going to call it Stepping Into the Mess. That's, if I was going to title my sermon this morning, it'd be like Stepping Into the Mess. And that's what you guys are doing, is seeing something that needs Jesus in it, seeing something where people are in bad shape or people need help. Or just like Arby talked about this morning, when we love God and we love others, we're going to talk about a couple practical ways to love others this morning. So, and we'll call that stepping into the mess. Okay, real quick. A year and 10 months ago, within a few days, we were standing up on the stage in this church, sent my family on a mission trip to Kona, Hawaii. Almost a few days away from a year and 10 months. And that mission, we joined YWAM Family DTS to run DTSs out of Kona. And you heard what that looks like. The schools are approximately 6 months long. The first 3 months are like intense training, discipleship. We study the Bible together. We study evangelism together. We study the Father's heart for us together. It's just 11 straight weeks of study. And then we gear up and we split those families into groups of about five families with a staff family, and we send them all over the world. This last 2 years, we sent teams to the Philippines, a couple teams to the Philippines. We sent a couple teams to Mexico. We sent a team to Indonesia. We sent a team to Uruguay. We sent some smaller teams to Chile. My wife and I went to Chile to do a smaller trip on our own. My son and I went to Mongolia for a while to scout a base that we're probably going to go to this next school. And the whole reason that we're going, everywhere we go, we have the same thing. We take the word of God, we take the gospel, and we share it everywhere we can. And then we team up with the ministries that are there that are running full time all the time. And we basically just show up and say, how can we help you do what you're doing? How can we help you do what we're doing? We're here for 2 to 3 months. What can we do to keep sure that whatever you're doing continues? And that's essentially what we're doing. I feel like there are probably some questions, but you can grab me afterwards if you have any more questions. I'll say this. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever got to do. Because it's what these guys do, and it's what this guy does. It's just a little bit shorter time frame. You get like 6 months, so you just go, and then you send them out. But it's beautiful. It's also the hardest thing, maybe, that I've ever taken on. And so when I sit down with my wife, and I'm like, this is really challenging. I think about Arby talking about, like, if it's not hard, it's probably not worth doing. So we're like, I think we're in the right place. And the last thing I'm going to say about that, we went out there. We went out there on a 2-year mission. That was kind of our thought, and our plan was to go out there and just go 100% for 2 years and then come back to the Clearwater Valley, which we love, to the people that we love, and share what God has put on our heart here. And God kind of changed that plan a little bit. He's extending what we're doing over there. We're very clear that we're supposed to stay. About a month ago, the school that we were staffing in, the leaders of the school pulled us in and said, listen, we have some things that God's pulling us into, and we really want to do that, but we need to put this school in the care of people that know how important it is and that love it. And so two staff families, our family and our friends of the gangs, they said, we want you guys to take over leading this school until God says you're released. And we prayed about it for several weeks, and we came back with a pretty clear answer that even though some of my kids' hearts and even our hearts maybe feel the most comfortable in the world in this place in the Clearwater Valley, like, we want to be where he wants us to be. We want to be doing what he wants us to do. And so coming back this time was kind of like, it's awesome, but also like a little hard, because we know we're going to be over there for at least another year or two. And then we'll see what God has. So we're excited, but we're also sad. Well, it's going to be beautiful. It's also going to be hard. So we know where we're supposed to be. Okay. Let's do this. It's funny, this first verse that I'm going to read is funny because you just said it. I want us to close our eyes. I mean, you don't have to, I can't force you, but we're going to read this story, and I just want you to use your imagination to kind of picture it, to just kind of enjoy it. I don't have any slides today, so we could just build a picture of our story in our mind, and then we're going to talk about it just a little bit. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn, where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now which of these would you say was the neighbor of the man who attacked the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." You can keep your eyes closed. James 2:15-16. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well." But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? The first two guys in the story probably had great excuses for why they avoided that mess. But luckily for the guy who got beat up, the last one stepped in and took care of him. We might not run across a beaten man this week, a naked or starving one, but there are messes all around us that we need the love and attention of our Father to fix. This is our family business. Okay. Real quick, I want you to take like 5-10 seconds and just think about some messes. Like I said, we might not see a guy laying on the side of the road beat up today. We might, but there's definitely some messes that we know about are going around. So just think about it, and then I'm going to call on some bold ones to just yell them out. Just yell them out. Take 5 seconds, and then... Well, all right, we tried this with the LACA and it went really well because the kids are pretty bold. They're like, "Yeah, we got a lot of messes in our life." They didn't have any problems yelling them out. So I want to hear some. What are some messes that we see in our world around us in the Clearwater Valley? Kids without parents. Absolutely. What's another one? Homelessness. What's a mess, Allie? Yeah. Conflict in relationships. Relationships. Let's throw a few more out. Sickness. Politics. Drugs. Ooh. People who need help. Pain. Let's do a couple more. Go ahead, Eli.
Family issues.
Family issues. I see a hand over here. One more. Let's do one more. Okay, Allie. Yes, addictions. Absolutely. And we're going to do something fun here. Before we do this, though, can we go after every mess? Right? Can Arby look around him and see all these messes and be like, "Those are all my responsibility"? Can you go after them all? Can we go after them all? No, so how do we pick? How do we pick the ones that we go after? Yes. Yeah, Jesus gave us a great model. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. Right? I only say what the Father tells me to say. So we have to ask. We have to ask the Lord, like, Lord, I want to be involved in something real. I want to take on something real. I want to love others, right? I want to love you. I want to love others. And I want to do something that's real and it matters, that we're called to do that. So we're gonna do something fun. Because the Word says that the Holy Spirit talks to us. Like, He's constantly talking, and if we tune in, we can hear Him. So we're going to close our eyes again. And I'm going to pray real quick, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit. And this is just for you. You're not going to yell this out. But we're going to ask Him this morning, hey, what's one of these messes that we just heard about? Or what's one of these messes that we know in our life, Lord, that we can walk out of this room today? We can walk out of this building today with, like, okay, I think you're asking me to plug into this mess, to step into this mess. Okay, so just close your eyes. I'm going to pray real quick. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you that we can just quietly come before you, Lord, and get direction. Just like you gave your Son direction. Lord, we don't want to be followers of Jesus that just sit on the sidelines. We were not created for that. That is not your heart for us. You have created us for wild adventures. You've created us to do hard things. Lord, you've created us to make an impact on the places that you've put us. So Lord, we just get quiet before you. And we just ask you to show us one of those messes that you are calling us into. In your mighty name, amen. Okay, I'll ask you to do one other bold thing. You do not have to do this, but if you want to be bold, you want to speak this thing out, like, turn to someone next to you, find someone, if you had something, and just say, hey, I think this is something that He has for me. Speak it out. It gets a lot more powerful and a lot more real when you say it out loud. So just take like 30 seconds and find someone and tell them what you heard. All right, let's move on. We can never be reminded enough or share with others enough just how much Jesus loved us and what He did for us. The next thing we're going to do, actually, I just want everyone to say this out loud. Say, beautiful are the feet. Let's say it a little louder. Beautiful are the feet. Okay, who knows what the end of that verse is? What's that? Yeah, of those who bring the good news, of those that share the gospel. Okay, I'm going to read a couple more verses. You can leave your eyes open this time if you want. But we're going to talk about this passage of Scripture. And the reason that we're going to talk about this is because there are messes all around us. And one of the best ways to attack those messes is to make sure that we're attacking them with Jesus. And one of the best ways to bring Jesus into any situation is to remember what Jesus did for us. You know, we call it the good news, we call it the gospel. It is the reason that we are capable of going after and loving others. So we constantly have to remind ourselves of what we got from Jesus on the cross and His resurrection. And we're called to constantly bring that to the people around us. It'll never get old. Okay, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Okay, real quick. In that last line, beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. What makes the feet beautiful? Yeah, what makes the feet beautiful is because they're bringing the good news. So there's a really interesting, there's a really powerful message in this last part of this verse. It's saying that the feet are beautiful because of what they're bringing. And that means that we can use the gospel. Like we can, I like this word infuse. Like if we infuse the gospel into areas of our life or areas of other people's lives, like we can bring beauty into messes. Okay, so your talent, right? You're really good at basketball. You're really good at construction, right? You're really good at, or your struggles, pains, things that you went through. Like if we use those to share the gospel, if we use those to bring the gospel, like we can bring beauty into anything. Just like we bringing beauty into the feet, and feet aren't all that beautiful. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then the Gentile." I want to share a story. I'm not sure if I shared this story. I don't think I've shared this story here, because I've been back once or twice. The Alaka people have heard it, though. A couple of years ago, we were in Africa, and we went to this remote village to hold this Sunday school for all these little kids in the village. And it was a couple hour drive, and we got there, and we were really excited. We had this whole program, and the kids saw us coming, and like those of you that have been to Africa, like they see you coming, and you just kind of get swarmed by all these little kids. Barely clothed, dirty little kids that are amazing. And they're all sitting, and we're lapping, and the kids are doing the program, and we're sharing the gospel. And we had like almost every kid there at the end of the day. It was like, I want to know Jesus. It was just this beautiful thing. But as we're like hugging and holding on these kids, we're looking down, and their little bald heads that are all shaved because of lice and all that, like they're like covered in ringworm. Like all these kids are just covered in ringworm. And we're like, wow, this is awesome, but it's not very beautiful, right? They're very dirty. But we're like, you don't even think about it at the time. You're like, you're 100% in. You're just hugging and loving on these kids. And I was telling the kids at Alaka, like when we came home from that trip, my daughter Natalie contracted ringworm from those kids, and she fought it for 4 or 5 months after we got home. Had to shave part of her head, right? And it was a pretty serious deal. My wife, shortly at the same time on that trip, probably not from those kids, but probably from mosquito contracted malaria, we're pretty sure. And she spent like the 4, maybe 6 days of her life in our little hut that we lived in, with like dirty floors and this not beautiful bathroom, right? And she spent 4 days basically on the floor in there trying to get over this sickness. And I was thinking about the story, and I was telling the story, and I was like, if you look at this trip that we took from the world's perspective, right? Like we spent a fair amount of money, right, to fly to Africa to live in a dirty little concrete hut that rarely had electricity. The water was dirty. You know, we ate a lot of rice, a lot of beans, occasional banana, and some cheap Cokes, which was the nice thing. We spent every day in the blazing hot sun, like walking and finding and talking to people, and contracted major sicknesses and illnesses, some parasites that we had to get rid of with pills and stuff when we got home, from the world's perspective, like, that was not a good use of our 2 months or a significant amount of money, right? It was not beautiful. But I was telling the Alaska crew the other day, like, I've got to take so many amazing trips in my life to do things that I'm really passionate about. Skiing trips, climbing trips, like kiteboarding trips. All that, you know, that were amazing. But like that trip to Africa, right? And trip to Mexico and the trip to South America and the trip to Mongolia, where we're doing all these things that are super uncomfortable. Like, the comforts of what we have here are significantly less. And sometimes spending like our last dime to get there. Like, literally, like, Lord, we're doing this as cheap as we can and we don't have enough, you know? From the world's perspective, they're like, that's not a very smart idea, right? But they're beautiful. They're beautiful, and they're our most precious things because only of one thing, because of Jesus, because of the gospel. And I just want to challenge everyone in this room, right? How often are we infusing the truth of who Jesus is and what he did for us into our everyday life? Like, when we go to work, when we're going hunting, when we're going fishing, are we fishing with someone that doesn't know the Lord? Are we fishing with someone that is, you know, struggling a bit? Like, we have all these opportunities to take something that's regular, normal life, maybe even mundane, or our regular routine. Like, we have a chance to infuse Jesus in that, and it's just making a step and say, I'm going to bring him into this. I'm going to tell you what he did for me. Like, that little step. RB was talking about loving others, love God and love others. That little step of saying, having a little boldness and saying, do you know what? Jesus did this for me. Like, this is how I was before, and this is how I am now, right? It doesn't even seem like much, but it's the God brings the power. Like, so it seems simple and it seems easy, but it's absolutely life transforming for the people around us. What time is it? This is one bonus thing about bringing the gospel everywhere we go. I wrote this down the other day. I wrote, sharing the gospel has brought great peace to my heart. It has helped me shed the fear of man that I grew up with. And I think a lot of people understand, like, it helped me shed the fear of man of what other people were going to think about me. I used to be really almost terrified of, like standing up in a group and saying, I don't believe in evolution, right? Because the Bible says we're created by God, right? Because I was afraid they were going to think I was like a Christian fanatic, right? Or like uninformed. And I had many times in my younger life where, like, I felt the leading of God to be like, go tell him about Jesus. Go tell her about Jesus. And I'm like, Lord, there's no setup. You want me to just walk up? Because I was worried more about what they thought of me than what the gospel could do for them. And I wrote this down the other night. It has helped me to shed the fear of man and grow excited to take risks for Jesus. Sharing the gospel has given me a great power to silence the voice of my enemy when he whispers, you are not really a follower of Christ and you'll never make a real difference. And I spent a large chunk in my young Christian life as a believer, ineffective to the people around me because I was just afraid to just walk straight up and tell people that their life is going to be way better off with Jesus. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about today, yeah. We'll do this story. I didn't think I'd do this story today, but I think we'll do it. The last thing that I want to talk about today is asking the Father to give us a heart for the lost around us. When you start to look out at the world around you, and you begin to see it the way Jesus sees it, and not how we see it. When we start seeing with his eyes and not our eyes, it gets tremendously easier to take wild and crazy risks for Jesus. It gets tremendously easier because we're no longer struggling with the like fear. We're no longer struggling with the like, what will they think? We just see the need that he sees. And I'm going to tell you a story that, guys, it wildly transformed me. It's just a year and a half ago. We were in Kona. And God was waking me up a lot early in the morning, like 4 o'clock, just to pray. I don't even know why I was waking up, but I'm awake. So I'd be praying, and it was a really great time with him. And one of these mornings, I woke up at 4, and I was just praying, and he was like, Jeff, do you have a heart for the lost? Do you love the people that don't know me? And I was like, yeah, Lord, I do. Like, I'm here in Kona for that. And he's like, okay, and I'm just sitting there, and he just kind of asked me again. He's like, do you have a heart for the lost? And I was like, I do. I think I do. Like, that's why I'm here. And I prayed a little bit longer, and I just kind of fell asleep like I always did. Like, just pray, fall back asleep. And I had